At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley. I am here with the Illini guys director of recruiting, Kedrick Prince, and we also have the Illini guys staff writer, Matt Stevens, and we are talking about the Purdue and Illinois matchup that was kind of the classic battle today. And it was a game that was both incredibly frustrating and incredibly entertaining all at once. The Illini went into double overtime, only to lose by 8 points to Purdue. An interesting game overall. Kedrick, I'm going to let you lead off with your thoughts, just, you know, top of mind on this game. I know you've had time to reflect on it since you got that drive back to the Quad Cities, which is incredibly scenic and so relaxing. So why don't you give us an idea? What you know, now that you had a chance to reflect on it, what are you thinking about that loss today?
Well, you know, driving home, you know, let me take a step back. When the game was over, I had I stayed afterwards, and you know, I had a good conversation with Trent Frazier's mom and dad, and we talked about the game. And then I got in the car, turned a couple podcasts on, and I listened to people's comments. And then I had a couple former players call me about the game. Then I got mad. I thought, okay, this is so. It wasn't just me. And then when I got home, I thought, okay, I'm going to put this in, and I'm going to watch some of it. And some of it was probably 60% of what I thought. I mean, just it was an entertaining game. Anybody who said it wasn't entertaining is kidding themselves. I know there's going to be some fans out there who's rolling their eyes saying, oh, loss, and they want to blame people. You know, they want to blame. I'm not blaming Kofi. I mean, the people, if this costs me, you know, a few followers, because I'm not one of those people who care about followers on Twitter, so be it. You got to stop blaming kids when they have a bad game and just start ripping these kids. They're human beings. Kofi has been great. I mean, you made the comment last Saturday, Mike. Kofi had 18 and 13 and people complaining. He was going up against a guy that was 4 inches taller than him. The refs, I didn't think, did him any favors today. And then when you lost, when the 7-foot guy went out, you had a 6'10", 6'11 guy to come in and replace him, you know? And let's face it, Kofi looks tired, looks exhausted. He might not be. There may be something else going on. We don't know. But to me, this is Illinois one of the best teams in college basketball. They needed to win. They lost Arizona and they lost to Purdue today. But this shows me personally, can't speak for everybody else, where Illinois is talent-wise. They're as good as anybody else. And sometimes it's just a break. You know, the second half, the wrong guy got hot. And if that doesn't happen, they win the game. So it's a game of emotions. I know fans are mad, but look at it like this. This could have been the other way. You know, when Brad Underwood first got there, this would have been a 40-point loss. And he's obviously turned the program around. It's not where it once was, and they expect to win. And I'm glad that the program is there where it is right now.
So, Matt, you have had a chance, obviously, to reflect, although you only got the semi-scenic drive back to Peoria to think about, you know, this. But what are your thoughts now, you know, put back, you know, got a good 5 or 6 hours to think about it?
There are going to be games in which Kofi Coburn can have a D+, C- type performance. This isn't one of them. And unfortunately, he had a D+, C- type performance today on both ends of the floor. And he's just not allowed against Purdue and the combination that they have of Zach Edey and Trevion Williams to have a performance like that. And there are going to be other teams in this league where he can play that way and he can get no rhythm and sit for 30 minutes, sit 30 of the 50 minutes because of foul trouble. And Illinois can still pull this off because they're talented enough. And they're especially talented enough at the guard and at the wings. Tonight, Monday night was just not the night. He can't play that way against those two guys. And if there comes a game where, you know, again, in this league, I would think Ohio State because they have EJ. And I'm not going to go down the list. But there might come a game in March in the NCAA tournament where there's a dominant big or a pretty good big at the five position, and Kobe's going to have a good game. And because there's nothing behind him right now that solidifies that position on both ends of the floor for Illinois. So as unfair as it is, Kofi Coburn, there are certain games where he has to come up big, and he didn't come up big on Monday night. And that's not to say Kofi Coburn's a trash player. I'm not going to be that guy. But this was certainly another below-average performance for Kofi Coburn. He'd probably be the first one to say it. Brad Underwood would be the second. And this is just not a team that you can have that for with, because that's the X factor of today is that, and I wrote about it, which was, you know, Purdue's got two guys that Matt Painter can rely on. Illinois's got one. And when you only have one, that guy's got to be great. And Kofi was anything but great today. And I felt like that was the difference, because everything else kind of, for me, kind of at least gave the check mark to Illinois, if not, you know, a 50-50 shot against a really, really good top five basketball team. But Illinois lost the five spot today.
They lost the five spot, but there was also, I'll tell you what, you guys tell me the player. 42 minutes, 3 for 10, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 turnovers. Now the other player would be 22 minutes, 3 for 9, 5 rebounds, 1 turnover. Who are those two players?
This is Jaden Ivey and
Jaden Ivey. I have, as a guy who's coached AAU basketball for 20 years, who's played, high school ball. I've been a basketball fan my entire life. I have never seen a guy who was out of control and got himself to a 3 and 10. And remember, folks, a shot attempt is not counted when you're fouled. So he was 3 for 10 on plays that there were no fouls called. He got at least 4 fouls where he just ran into somebody and threw up crap. I have never seen somebody shoot 3 for 10 and be rewarded by the referees with 15 free throws. That 13 for 15, and I got to give him credit, man. I'm going to come out right out now. Jaden Ivey would be the best player on the court if he's playing well. He is as reminiscent of Io as I've seen. But they basically gave the game. They transferred the game through bailing him out on dumb plays. I mean, if you would just let Curbelo drive into the lane and throw up whatever he wants, and every single time he could shoot, you know, he'd get 15 free throws, Illinois would be fine. My frustration, and a lot of people are like, look, like the Zach Edey call where he kind of pulled Kofi and Kofi was kind of backing into him that resulted in Kofi's third foul. That could have went either way. And if it went against Purdue, Illinois fans would be like, oh, it's too bad, you know, loser, versus it went against Kofi. And the Purdue fans are like, oh, too bad, loser. That's a coin flip. Or maybe if you have a referee who's got some cojones, they call a double foul and they tell the two guys, you guys better figure it out or you'll be out of here in like 3 minutes.
That's what should have happened.
Yeah, that's what should have happened. And but Bo Borowski doesn't have – he has no courage. So ultimately – but where I have a problem with the way this game was wrapped is on the inside. Matt hit it on the head. There's one Kofi. There's two of those guys. And as they go in and out, Kofi was going to try to guard two extremely talented players. It didn't go well. I didn't agree with all the calls, but it didn't go well. But when you give Jaden Ivey 15 free throws for the type of, I mean, you go watch the breakdown. They were horse crap calls. You know, when you're out of control and you just jump in into two guys and you pick like the right shoulder or the left shoulder of one of the guys, and you try to go, well, they're not going to call a charge on me because I picked a side, so I won't hit him in the chest. And if a referee, they consistently rewarded that. And that was the difference in the game today. And
it was the Jaden difference in the game.
He doesn't need the help.
No, and none of those guys, and it wasn't just him. You know, there was a lot of times I thought that happened. But I guess my frustration, it wasn't just today was a dagger. And here's why I say that. How many times have we done podcasts or we've talked, all three of us, you know, we've all talked privately how many times Kofi's been hit and hacked. The whole year, we've talked about it. And today, they just happened to swallow the whistle because everything he did today was a foul. But when he plays, he doesn't get that. Take it away, because I don't think Purdue fouled him today. I'm not saying, I really don't. I'm not saying that Purdue fouled him and he, you know, was, you know, going up and, you know, and he didn't get his free throw attempts. That's not it. But as many times as he's been hacked and fouled and you reward Purdue with that, and I'm going to tell anybody who's listening to this, and I really do not care if you agree with me or not. I don't care. I don't want anybody to tell me, not even on this podcast, that officials do not decide the outcome of a game, because they can. They can, and they do it. I will tell you this. When I started writing for the Quad City Times years ago, and my first interviews was with Ed Hightower. I don't know if you guys remember Ed Hightower. Some of the people listen to this podcast.
Everybody remembers old Ed.
Here's what he said to me. And it was one of my better interviews, and I know it, and I toot my horn. Here's what he said to me. He said, Mr. Prince, let me tell you something. We're sports fans. We read the newspapers. We watch SportsCenter. He said, we know. We look at the conference standings. He said, when we know what's at stake at these games, he said, we know what people's contracts are. We're sports fans. And not saying that they were throwing games. They know. They know what's going on during these games. He told me before the game, they said, talk about it. Because he told me there were certain coaches that they let get away with things. And there were some coaches that they refused to tee up unless they really crossed the line if it was a game that really, really mattered. So I don't want anybody trying to tell me that it doesn't matter, because it does. Because at the end of the day today, I really thought today was when I saw the crew out there with DJ and Bo, I knew Illinois was done. I did. Regardless of what anybody said, I knew they were done, because they just make imaginary calls. And some of the ones, and it's frustrating because you don't know how to play. Now, I talked to Kenny Battle today. He was one of the guys on the way home. And here's what he said to me. He was upset with it. He was sitting at courtside, I guess. The one that frustrated him was the one on Kofi. He said, usually, because he was a captain, you could ask the officials, how are you going to let us play today? Are you going to let us play today? I mean, what should we look for? And if you ask the officials, 9 times out of 10, back then, that's the way they called the game. But now it's not like that. And I just felt like Kofi was taken out of the game today. I thought, and I'll tell you another one, and I'll be done. The last three games, people have complained about Andre Plummer struggling shooting. No, they're not. Go back and look at the Nebraska game. Tape the game sometimes. Don't just watch the game. Tape them and go back and look at them. They're hitting him on his arm, not his elbow, on his arm. It's not a fluke that he's missing shots. And he complained about it a couple of times today. But you know what? If you can do it and get away with it and you win the game, so be it. But to me, I don't want to hear that officials don't affect the game, because they can. And today, they affected the game today.
Matt, it looks like you got something to say. Let's throw it out there.
It's funny to me how, like, and I know Illinois fans kind of see it through the prism of just their own team. It's funny for me to sit courtside today and watch Matt Painter kind of have the same kind of feelings about how Zach Edey's officiated. And I've kind of wondered for a while now if the sport, and I'm not just talking about the Big Ten, I'm talking about, does the sport know how to ref big people?
No.
Like bigs? No.
Nope.
No. And so I don't think this is a Kofi Coburn thing. I don't think it's a Zach Edey thing. I think the sport – in general really struggles with how to ref big people. And then I think a lot of people struggle in terms of bigs going to the next level if they have that opportunity, because they don't really know how to defend properly. Because I mean, I've heard Jay Billis talk about this over on ESPN a lot, is that, you know, there's a lot of grabbing. There's still, I mean, even in the era now that we have a freedom of movement, right? There's still a lot of grab and hold. Like there still is a lot of grab, hold, and clutch. And I watched Matt Painter today just absolutely work Bo Borowski today because he felt like early on in this game that Zach Edey was getting the hell beat out of it. Like, and so I don't personally buy the fact that it's a Kofi Coburn issue. I just think I don't think this sport knows how to officiate bigs. But I'll also say that you take everything out of the equation. If you look at this game in a vacuum and say, look, Kofi had to sit because of foul trouble. That's a fact. But when he was out there, I felt like he wasn't the same kind of Kofi Coburn.
He wasn't.
In order for Illinois to be as good as they need to be.
I would agree with that. And the thing that I think is interesting here,
I agree,
is I think I will tell you a couple things. First off, I think Purdue fouled Kofi less than most teams do, to be real honest with you, because they've got big guys who can actually compete with Kofi from a strength standpoint.
Yeah, either defensively, like Mike, Ked, you'll appreciate this. They can either play directly behind or directly in front.
Yes.
Exactly. And Bevion Williams played directly in front, and Edey was fine with playing directly behind him.
Yep. And so they don't really have to foul. Here's where Kofi gets beat, Matt, and it's not about a Kofi thing, but it's about Kofi. Where Kofi has the problem is these refs will look at a play, and instead of saying, did it cause an issue, they look like, did the guy fall down? Did the guy get moved? Well, Kofi's 290 pounds, and he's not a flopper. So he goes up, and he's going to try to score. He may get pounded, but he doesn't move. Meanwhile, you got Stefanovic, who, Trent puts his feet within a foot of him, and he falls down, and he gets a call because he fell down. Ouch.
And he never touched him. I watched the game when I got home. He never touched him.
I know he didn't, but it's a Kofi thing in the fact that, unfortunately, it's a little like soccer. If Kofi wants to get more fouls, he's going to have to be a shrinking violet and fall down. You know, just like when Io got hit in the face and broke his nose, he was trying to get back up.
Right. And I'll tell you this, too. It's a frustrating thing, I know, because I've talked about it this with Jeff Alexander. And I know that this is not going to put me in a good light with our subscribers and our Illinois fans. It is still frustrating to this coaching staff, including Jeff Alexander, who I know works a ton with Kofi, how much Kofi brings the ball down and tries to dribble it from 1 to 2 feet and allows guards to just smack the hell out of him and have it not be called. If he plays from his waist up the minute he gets the ball, those things don't get called and those things don't happen nearly as much. And so that's the frustrating thing
is that
there are times in which Kofi gets the ball in the post
and
he doesn't still have a plan on what to do. It was the thing. Look, he didn't shoot it all that well today, but Trevion Williams has a plan before he ever accepts the basketball in the post.
Trevion,
one of the things I love about
he
his
was
game,
6 for 18 though.
No, I know. I understand that he didn't shoot it very well. He didn't finish really well.
It's impressive. Here, I'm trying to rub both of you. Here's the difference between Trevion and Kofi, and I love Kofi. Trevion is a monster with post moves. I didn't know he was 6 for 18 until you said it. Because here's the difference. Kofi, if he wants to draw fouls, then don't run away from contact. You have to attack the basket. Because if you attack the basket, 9 times out of 10, you're going to get a call. Kofi doesn't, and again, I love him. Illinois would not be where they are without him. But if you want to be a true post guy, because if Kofi had the footwork and the jump hook and the moves that he had around the basket, there's not a person in this planet in college basketball that can come close to touching him. But he doesn't. He's made strides. I mean, he has made unbelievable strides. Go back to the Arizona game. You go back to the Arizona game, he was catching the ball 4 feet away from the basket, so he's easy to guard. So he didn't attack the basket. And it's a drop step, left hook, or right hook. Well, Trevion has go left, stutter step, go right. Trevion can turn his face. How many times I've seen every Illinois basketball game this year? Not one time have I seen Kofi Coburn turn and face the defender, which people do to him. So if he wants to get more fouls, I think he should attack the basket, not lay it up, and not run away from contact because he was off balance a lot. A lot of that was, and they're not going to call you those fouls.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing
that was easily going to be my second point, which is if you're Jaden Ivey, okay, and you're a veteran in this league, and you're supposed to be a first team All Big Ten player, and maybe you're a first team All American. I don't know. I don't necessarily disagree with how he was officiated, Mike, but I give the kid all the credit in the world for realizing, you know what, if I go down the lane and attack the basket, there's a chance I might get a whistle. Like,
yeah, which will again, though, the thing I have, Matt, is if you're going to give a call like that, you give it to a guy like Io, who's done it for 2 years. You give it to a guy who's actually shooting well and putting pressure. But when you just dive up in the air at three people because you don't know what the hell you're going to do with the ball, and then you end up – I mean, I'll be honest with you. I have never seen a game – I mean, and I'm not making this up. I've coached a ton of AAU ball, and I've been blessed to watch some fantastic players either when I'm working for Illini guys or when my teams were playing really good teams. I've never seen somebody who got rewarded for just that type of junk. I mean, other than the fact that, oh, I guess he's supposed to be an All-American, but yeah, then Kofi's supposed to be one. So let's reward him.
It almost seemed like early on, though, he realized he didn't have his jumper, and that if he was going to continue to take 15 footers, like Matt Painter was going to get really pissed.
Well, 3 for 10 means he took 10 shots because those were not foul shots. Because if you're fouled, those don't count as attempts.
Right, and I understand.
My argument is if you take a look at this game. And again, Illinois had plenty of mistakes. But if you take a look at this game, you take his 13 for 15. He shot as many free throws as Illinois as a team. Guys like Trent Frazier, you know what he was from the free throw line tonight?
Well, I think he shot any, did he?
Two?
He didn't shoot any.
Okay.
He didn't shoot any. He drove against 7'4" guys, and the 6'1" guy didn't shoot any. Plummer, he took 2. He drove. And Curbelo took 5, and he actually had quite a few free throws.
Right.
So again, I there are very few games that when I get into this that I'll really that the referees really make a difference. Today they made a difference.
Today they did.
And again, Illinois, and unfortunately, you know, when you go with Omar Payne, you can't lose your temper and get that technical. Kofi would have been nice if he'd have played better. There's no doubt about that.
Let me jump in one thing, which is I said it to you, Mike, when we sat next to each other on press row. Okay, Kofi gets the third foul. Okay, he's going down the floor. What's he doing? He's basically throwing his arms up and trying to give the 16,000 plus at State Farm Center to give Bo Borowski the Bronx cheer. At that moment, Brad Underwood's got to take him out of the game because he's lost his mind. And there's a really good chance that a 22-year-old is going to do something stupid on the other end of the floor. Sure enough, 16 seconds later, he gets a touch foul on because Jaden Ivey realizes, holy crap. Like if I attack the basket, big boy might foul me.
But big boy, but then again, there was no move there. It was just, I'm going to go dive.
No, I understand. I understand
and
that.
Kofi was standing in one place. Kofi didn't move.
But I'll tell you this. I did not understand the explanation from Brad Underwood of he sat so long in the first half, I felt like I had to let him play with 3. Kofi had lost his mind going down the floor.
Maybe,
and I told
but again.
I turned to you and I said, he's going to do something bad.
I know, like, but he didn't, Matt. He just stood there.
I know.
It was. He stood there,
just so
though.
You know, when I watched the game at home, the one when Jaden Ivey went baseline and he hit his knee, that's a foul. I'm sorry. It was. It was a foul. I can't even. I'm not going to lie. Because we're talking about it, it was.
And if you're and Ked, if you're Kofi and you got 3, you can't do that. You can't.
You let him go.
Close to doing that.
Yeah, you have to run away from him because again, you know he's. That's the one problem I have with the Illini. When Jaden Ivey drives, if he gets 2 steps, 3 steps, they're going to call a foul. That's just the way it was today. So that means you either have to keep him from getting the ball, or. You block him from the drive in your first 2 or 3 steps. In other words, you play, look, dude, shoot the ball because I'm not letting you go to the free throw line.
Yeah, the one that I thought did a great job of walling him was Demonte Williams. But everybody else whose name was not Demonte Williams, let him go to the hoop.
Yeah.
Basically and let him do whatever the hell he wanted to do with the basketball. And that was the unfortunate thing.
About his offense. But you know what? I don't know if people really realize – when he's not there next year, what that's going to be like, because he frustrated Jaden today. There was a time today, and again, I mean, I'm asking you to revert back to the game if you taped it. He had the ball, and he was frustrated. He snatched it out of Damonte's hand. Damonte frustrates people, and Trent, because of the way they defend, and he was. And Jaden's a good player, but he hasn't earned the right as a sophomore. But I, like what I said to you, though, what Ed Hightower said, they know who the players are. They know who can do what and who can't and what's at stake here. It stinks. And on the flip side, Illinois, they lost, but they are proven that they can play with the top teams in the country. Purdue needed this win more than Illinois did. It stinks because it was at home. Well, because, you know, now they have to go try to make it up.
And Painter told Underwood that was impressive effort, you know. And I'll be honest with you, there have been times that I've coached that I've walked off to another coach and I just said, hey, man, we got the calls, you didn't. I mean, I have no problem admitting that. But let's compare some of the stats. For those people, again, and trust me, Illinois has had the games where they get the calls. So this has happened, but very rarely do you see it this one side.
Very rarely.
And very rarely do you see it this when you have two ranked teams. But take a look at this. So second chance points, what do you think the difference was there?
Probably a dozen.
12 to 11.
Okay.
Second chance points. Fast break points, what do you think the difference was there?
Negligible.
12 to 10 for the Illini.
Right.
Bench points. What do you think the bench points were?
Ooh. Oh, it was
Illinois. Carmelo had like, what, 20?
It was 28 to 27. So pretty even there. Points off of turnovers. What do you think that was?
Negligible.
9 to 8.
Right.
Now,
there were two areas that Purdue
led.
You get the points in the paint, because that was a big deal.
Points in the paint, 42 to 26. There's a 16-point advantage there. But yep. Illinois actually made field goals instead of free throws, and they happened to make them from the three-point line. So Illinois had 12 three-pointers compared to 8 for Purdue.
Right.
And then the other issue that you ran into was foul shots, where 32 – And you got to give Purdue credit, man. They hit 26 out of 32 free throws. That you don't, if you give them, they make you pay if they get the fouls, which makes a Bo Borowski even more dangerous if he's in the mood to call him for Purdue. And Illinois was 12 for 15, so they shot fairly well. Give Kofi a kudo; he was 4 for 4. But so basically, the difference in the game comes down to points in the paint, which was offset by the threes. And the fact that Illinois actually, you know, was doing a little more from the field goals, at least until the final, you know, overtime. And then you ended up with points from the free throw line, which, again, I don't expect teams to call. I don't expect referees to call it like, you know, 18 fouls to 18.
Or I'm not a fan of
18 free throws to 18.
Call what you see.
But when you see some of the things that we saw today, I got to be honest with you, I was pretty proud of Illinois for what they did, despite losing. You know, you had Coleman Hawkins, who was puking before the game, who gave it a go, but he couldn't play. You had Omar Payne, who, you know, was actually starting to play decently before he lost his cool. And so that's
he did throw a nut ball. Yep. He did do that. He threw a nut ball.
Yep. And I like look at the replay. Did 55 throw an elbow too? Because I saw him throw something. Well, I couldn't see what was going on.
I think he retired. When I watched it when I got home, I don't know. There must have been something said between them, you know, previously, and I didn't go back to look at that. But in that specific incident, Omar did do it.
Yep.
And then I think he was going to react. And then that's when you saw Travion walk up to defend his teammate. But it was just – it changed the momentum of the game.
And it's a coachable moment because if you're Underwood, you got to make sure that never happens again. Because again, now that it's happened at Florida and at Illinois, Lord knows the Big Ten referees like Bo Borowski are going to be looking to call that foul. I mean, so he's going to have to watch out when he just is doing his normal blocking out that somebody's not going to call him for it. I mean,
on the flip side of it, like it became a game today where Brad Underwood couldn't trust Omar to be on the floor.
Well, right. It's after that.
His mind was like three counties over. Like, yeah. Again, and now I've got to go to BBV because he's the only guy I trust who's strong enough to handle Trevion Williams. And he wasn't in my scouting report. Like, I didn't expect – if you're Brad Underwood and you show up at the stadium today, do you really think he was expecting to play Bosman's Verdant more than 5 minutes tops? No.
No, but I'll guarantee you one thing. If he thought he did, he thought it was a blowout one way or the other.
Right. And so, like, I mean, that's where – again, you're absolutely right, Mike. It's a coachable moment because Brad Underwood's got to go to Omar and say, hey, look, I needed you for 15 minutes today and you couldn't give it to me, like, because your mind was three counties over today. And that leads me to my major point of today is that, I mean, here's my hot take. And I know he's not the dean of the conference, but I don't think there's a better coach in this league than Matt Painter. Because, and I'll give you an example. I'm not really sure any other coach in America could make this, what he calls timeshare deal between Zach Edey and Trevion Williams work. Because for him to get Trevion Williams to buy into coming off the bench and playing 20 minutes is beyond me. And I picked Purdue somewhere like fourth, I think, this year in the league because I just didn't think their parts fit this year. I mean, I thought they had a lot of talent. I told everybody, their parts just don't fit. I'm an idiot. Their parts fit. And I'm here to tell you, they're going to be a really tough out because I don't know anybody else in America that can handle them in the paint. I really don't.
They're going to be a tough out until – I mean, I hate to say it, but even Illinois struggles with this. They're going to be a tough out till they get in the NCAA, and then people don't let you throw the elbows that you can throw in the Big Ten. You can't do the pushing, and then that's going to be a challenge for Big – it's always a challenge for Big Ten.
Right, but there's been some player development there, Mike, of like Eric Hunter, who is nothing – who's nothing more than Romeo Langford's high school teammate in Indianapolis. And he couldn't throw it in the ocean if he was standing on the beach 2 years
ago. But he can do a back cut for a layup.
Yeah, and now he's an effective player both on offense and defense. Like Matt Painter doesn't have to take him out of the ball game either because he can't make free throws. That happened too 2 years ago, and now that's not the case either. So, they have a lot of things that, but again, I'm not kicking Kofi while he's down today. He'd be the first one to tell you this. This is a game where Kofi has to come up big, and he just flat out didn't. Flat out just didn't. And a lot of it is that he's sitting for three-fifths of this game, and I get it. But he had to come up big today, and it's probably not a fair ask, but he had to come up big today, and he flat out just didn't. And the other thing is that I do think Illinois defensively still has some things that they need to work out in critical situations, especially with – and we haven't even mentioned it – with number five is back – and if you're going to play five, if you're going to play Carbello and Plummer together.
Yeah, that's a challenge.
That's a problem. That's a problem late in games defensively, and it still is. But I'll tell you this. I told this to Steve Greenberg of the Chicago Sun-Times before I left tonight, and it was kind of half-kidding. But if Andre Carbello can do that when Brad Underwood literally describes his conditioning as horrific and horrid, I'd kill to be able to do that with my conditioning currently being horrific and horrid. That kid today did a lot for me to kind of prove that he's got winning it. Stuff.
He's got the effect.
He's got winning stuff. He still drives me freaking bonkers on occasion.
Three quarters of the plays.
He's got winning stuff. There are times in which he still pounds the damn ball into the court for 15 seconds on end, and I'm literally doing, what the hell are you doing? And then it seemed like every time I did that on Monday night, he did something spectacular about 2 seconds later. So I still think there are things to work out with Carbello coming back, but that kid's got winning stuff. And the problem with Carbello still, and I give Matt Painter a lot of credit for this too, he understood late in games I got to run stuff against 11 and 5 because they don't guard anybody. And they still – it's not their fault. It's just not their strength. Because I'm sure as hell not going to run it up against, you know, DeMonte Williams or Trent Frazier. Painter knows that enough because he's seen him for 5 years.
He picked on Plummer personally. Plummer,
yeah, that Plummer was back to back. Plummer was the one that, yeah, because even Curbelo, to be honest with you, he's a good on ball defender. So in a worst case scenario, you put Curbelo on a shooter and you just say, look, man, don't switch. Go over the top of picks. Don't let him shoot. And Curbelo will do a good job. Plummer, you know, is still learning because I don't think he's ever had to play defense in his life before. And he's not certain that when he's – I don't think he quite understands that when you look at the guy who has the ball, you have to still be in a position where you can see your guy too.
Right.
Because basically he looks at the guy who has the ball, his guy goes back to the layup, and it's like, oh, crap, I forgot to guard him.
You know what's sad about that? He's not slow. He's athletic.
Oh, no, he is.
He's strong. He just doesn't understand. And, I mean, I don't think Cabello's is as bad as people think he is. But
I agree.
I will say this. I mean, because he's not. I just know Plummer, you have to play him. I mean, I'm sorry. You have to put him on a ghost man or whatever. He has to be on the court because that kid is a game changer too, and you just got to continue to work with him. I don't care if he's a transfer and he's a senior. You got to keep working because at the end of the day, when you look at the roster now, you know, and the one thing I've said, I want to see the ball in Trent's hand still. It's nice to see him with Curbelo make magic today because we all remember this. Oh, boy, don't let Curbelo play because how he played against Marquette in Cincinnati, he was horrible. But that's not what we saw the Curbelo of last year. It came coming off the bench. He has it, you know, and I liked watching what he did today. I don't want to see the things change. And I'll say this. You guys talked about the tournament. Here's what it's going to take. I think there's a couple guys. Kofi Coburn, I think Oscar from Kentucky can beat a team like Purdue in the tournament. But what it's going to take is they have to attack them. You can't look at, you know, a 7'4" guy and just throw up shots and hope you're going to get fouled. If you don't foul them out and get fouls on them, you're going to be done. And there's very few guys who have the talent to do it. Those are two guys that I know to come to my mind to have the talent to do it. Kofi needs to learn that. And, I mean, a lot of people were texting me during the game, this is why Kofi's going to struggle in the NBA because he can do it. I just don't know if he's played enough. I don't know if he understands the game well enough yet, but he has the body and the foot speed to do it. If they go to Purdue and if he does the same thing, you're going to get the same result because he has to go up. Quit laying the ball up. If you go up and dunk it, because it's easy to block. He had a reverse layup today when he could have dunked it and just missed it and went all the way over the rim. Why lay it up? If you go up and try to dunk it, then they're going to probably block it and they get a foul. That's what I think he's missing right now, personally.
I'll tell you the one thing I learned about Zach Edey today is that I kind of still thought he was a 7'4 stick. He's a little bit stronger than I give him credit for, especially in the lower body.
Because yes, he is.
I tell you one thing, Kofi Coburn tried to go through him, and that didn't work. I swear. I mean, like, and the problem is if you're 7'4 and you have that type of wingspan and you're that long, going around him is not the easiest task in the world for Kofi. But he learned real quick that there's a reason why Zach Edey's playing directly behind you, and it's because I'm not going to let even Kofi Coburn go through me. And that didn't work out too well for Kofi. One, because Zach Edey's strong enough in the lower body that he can basically push Kofi out to at least maybe 6-7 feet instead of letting Kofi catch it like 3 feet from the basket.
Yep.
Is what Painter said. That was the whole idea, was like just get Kofi to catch it maybe 7 feet from the basket.
That's all you do with a big guy. You make him catch it a few feet wider.
The thing about it is, Mike, and you've seen this, is that Kofi still has managed to be able to go through dudes. Even in this league, Zach Edey did not let him go through him. And now the only other option is to go around him. And that frustrated the hell out of Kofi, and that's why he went whatever he went today and had another subpar performance. If you saw what you saw in this, again, this guy, go back to the Arizona game. Arizona made Kofi catch it 7 feet from the basket and had a dude stand behind him and block it. And Kofi can't go through that dude.
And that's where when Kofi gets as he develops, because this all these players are on a journey, right. And as he develops, this is the type of game that Kofi has to recognize that, hey, what I can do is when they got a guy on my back and they got a guard coming in, somebody's open. And he's got to be able to recognize in a very quick fashion and pop the ball out. And to be honest with you, the way Purdue played, you're not going to get it on the first pass. It's going to be the second pass that the guy's open. And so as Kofi develops, I think that's coaches are helping him with that.
Yeah, we'll go back to what I was saying, Mike, with if they're not going to make the catch difficult, figure out what I want to do with the ball before I ever catch the ball. Like have a move in, like have a move to go to before I ever catch the ball, because you're in the advantage. The defender has to basically roll with you. And so,
well, that's not how they played him though, Matt, because what they did, they brought in the second guy, and this, and I was tweeting about this the whole game. They brought in the second guy to help on him from the opening tip. Illinois was having Kofi guard one-on-one, allowing the rest of the team, you know, to stay on their man until later on when they started coming in to help Bosman. But ultimately, you know, when the double team's coming, and look, like I said, these kids are getting better and better, but as the double team comes, Kofi will learn where to identify, because he's been doing it. But now you're in against a couple really good players, and it's harder to pull it off against them. And Painter's a hell of a defensive coach. So they dropped down, and the second he had the ball, he had about 1 second, and then he had two guys on him.
Right.
Well, hey, I guess, you know, we should look at it like this. We're talking about how good Purdue is and how good the big guys are. I mean, I'm really sorry. Rutgers beat Purdue. Okay? They did. Rutgers has nowhere near the talent Illinois has. They need to play. We can sit here and overanalyze this all we want. Rutgers beat Purdue, and Purdue was, what, 3-2 coming into the game today? And they lost at home, was it to Wisconsin? I'm really, really sorry. Illinois has the talent to play. What we've all talked about, Matt's right. Kofi needs to play, and he needs to go out there and show him that he's the guy that everybody thinks he's supposed to be. If he comes out and he plays 30 minutes today or 29 minutes today, Illinois probably wins that game. Bottom line, he has played for 3 years, and he doesn't foul out. I think today, now correct me if I'm wrong, this may be the first time he's ever fouled out. If not, it's only his second time, because he doesn't really defend in the post aggressively because he knows he can't foul out. Moving forward, he needs to own this, get better, because he's good enough to do it. Okay, and to me, I will say, and people can argue, I think Purdue and Illinois are the best two teams in the Big Ten.
Yeah,
sorry, Wisconsin. Sorry, Michigan State. And they may beat Illinois. But I'm going to tell you this right now. Talent-wise, it's even, except for they have the two big guys. Own it and be done. And if Omar Payne is not going to score points, I think he can defend a little bit better than Kofi, because, they're different guys. So
That game, though, I'm sitting here looking at the box score on that game, because I'll confess that I didn't watch it. But I can tell you right now, the personal fouls, and DJ Cartenson also refereed at this one, although it was Don Daly and Courtney Green, but the personal fouls in that game, Purdue had 17 and Rutgers had 19. Purdue went to the line 16 times. Rutgers went to the line 18 times. You look at the stats. I mean, look, let's face it. If you would have given, if you would have given Jaden Ivey, who was 5 for 9, but he only shot 4 free throws that game. If he shoots 15 free throws that game, well, look at that. Purdue would win that game by about 8 to 10 points.
Rutgers also, again, they played 40 minutes. But Rutgers also won the game on a half court buzzer beater.
They shouldn't have been in the game.
No, I'm just saying.
I know what you mean.
But there's a lot of reasons why Rutgers wasn't in the game besides.
Right.
You know what I mean? Illinois was, like I said, Illinois had plenty of things they can improve on. I guarantee you Coach Underwood's going to – he's got a list of things he can coach. He's also proud of the way they played a double overtime against the number 4 team or number 5 team in the country with or 5-7 against you did a double overtime when they're living at the free throw line and you're not. And you're playing your third string center, and they're rotating their two studs, and their studs, there's no doubt. And Jaden Ivey, literally, if he would have sneezed next to Damonte Williams, he would have went to the line. That's just the way it was tonight.
Here's my summary is that my eyes tell me exactly what Ked is talking about, player for player, talent for talent between Purdue and Illinois. The problem is that on paper – Illinois still needs a signature win, and we're in the third week of January. Now they have a whole
bunch of kids
to get one. They don't have one. Yes, they don't have one yet. They don't have one yet. I mean,
and they let two slip away. You're right.
Yeah. So
next Tuesday is going to be the chance to get it.
And so here's, I mean, like, and if you want to go back, like Purdue's got wins against North Carolina and Villanova. Like,
yep.
Pretty good. Like, Illinois' signature win is. Illinois' signature win is what? At Iowa?
Iowa.
No, I mean, that's Iowa's top 20, you know.
If
you
no, I mean, that's a good win.
But on
that's
the road.
That's not going to get you.
But Illinois had opportunities, and they let them slip. They think about it. They should have beat both of those teams, and they let them slip. We can keep saying
I don't know, Ken. I don't know. You know what? I'm never going to take a win away from the other team. I don't know that Illinois should have won. But I will tell you one thing. What they had – where Illinois and you know, I think they played well. The one thing they have to do is they have to eliminate the one time a game from maybe one player or maybe two player, the total brain fart that you're like, what the hell just happened? The Omar Payne today, that has to be eliminated from what they do.
I tell you what bothered me, though, Mike, and maybe this is just immediately after the game and on like – the young man doesn't really understand what the hell he's talking about. I'll grant you that, like, emotionally wise after a game. But for Alfonso Plummer to sit up there and try to tell the media that Illinois is a top five team in the country, like, that's a load of garbage. Like, if that's what you think they are, then start winning games like this. Because last year's team won games like this.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, and this year's team hadn't won a darn one of them. Like, and this is where, like, when this year's team loses Io DeSumo and they start to think that they're the same, like this is the same deal. Like it's not the same deal. You got Colin Hawkins thinking Colin Hawkins today, I'm not talking about today. I'm talking about like Colin Hawkins throughout the whole year thinks he's a premier player because Illinois was a top five team. And now I'm a starter the year later. That doesn't mean anything. That does not mean a darn thing. So I got a problem with these guys like coming out of this loss. I don't want them to feel terrible. Like they played their butt off on Monday night. They really, really did.
It's not okay to accept it.
Okay, we're still a top five team, even though we've lost at home now to Arizona and Purdue. Guess what? Top five teams win one of those games. Like, and
especially at home.
And so I Illinois needs a signature win before they start, you know, chirping again. Like that's the thing that I have an issue with this team is that this team has operated all year long like they're a little bit better than they actually are. And the only thing that I thought that was a shining light for Illinois, or I wouldn't say the only thing, the biggest thing I thought was a shining light for Illinois is that if they can get an energy type, flavor type 25-minute performance off the bench, just like they did last year out of Andre Curbelo the rest of this year, if you're Brad Underwood, you're all for it, man. Like that's the best thing that happened to Illinois on Monday night was they realized after 2 months off, Andre Curbelo is still that darn good. And he can be that piece that you've been missing. And he can be that piece that allows Trent Frazier to like not play 40 minutes a night, yeah. For Christ's sakes. Like,
well, and then but you have to take care of business in Maryland. You know, I've never been one. I'm much less worried about the ratings. I'm more of the individual game type of guy. And so to me, this next game is one of those games that I think, you know, at Maryland, I think you've got to be really careful because people feel
and
like
they don't play well there either.
Well, Maryland can throw some long wings at you and the length, you know, Ayala, that they are a team that has a little bit of what makes it tough for, you know, Illinois to sometimes play. And it was, and it was a 12-point victory, you know, at home. And I worry that they're going to be thinking, well, you know, we played Purdue so close and we got Michigan State on Tuesday. I don't want them to look past Maryland on Friday.
Well, and Danny Manning is going to tell them that they threw the game away in Champaign because they had control of it for a while.
And so if I'm Illinois, if I'm Brad Underwood, you know, that my biggest concern is, you know, we've got to stack days and we've got to play at Maryland and we got to take care of that business before we worry about beating Michigan State. Because you don't want a one game loss to turn into a two game streak.
Nope.
Yeah, I would agree. I think there isn't,
I did like, if you've seen it on social media, I did like the way that Underwood addressed them after the game, because there's a lot to be said for this team just played their butt off.
I agree totally.
And got beat. I mean, honestly, and it's going to happen. I agree with Brad Underwood that nobody's going to go 20-0 in the league. Like, and not in this one. I'm telling you that right now. It ain't going to happen. And I still think somewhere in the neighborhood of 16-4 is going to win you the league. So you got three more that you can drop. I mean, and so realistically, I think Brad Underwood's going to put the coach blinders on and go, hey, we got better today.
Yeah. Like, I don't think Underwood's ever the problem usually,
no.
You know, and I think ultimately, you know, and I think the kids played well today. I just think they weren't going to win under these circumstances. And I think ultimately they've got to figure out now, if, you know, the way I would do this is, if we're mad about what happened at Purdue, then it's not fair, but let's beat the hell out of the Terrapins and take our anger out. You know, let's go out there and let's turn this thing into a cakewalk in the first half. You know, that's kind of how I would kind of approach it, is we're just going to, you know, we got to win this game. Let's go out there and let's lock them down and let's show what we got.
Yeah, I'd hand the team, honestly, and I don't know how you guys feel about it, and I feel like he's going to do this because I know Brad Underwood pretty well now, having covered the man for 3 years. Like, I think he's going to hand the team over to Trent Frazier and Damonte Williams for the next few days and just say, you know, guys, figure it out. Like, I mean, you guys know what you got to do. Figure it out. And that's what I would do. Like, they can get this team right. I mean, and there ain't that much wrong, but they can get this team right. And I go back to the next game after Maryland, because I guess I pencil that one a W, even though, you know, I think Danny's going to have them ready to go in College Park. The Michigan State game at home, that's got to be a W for Illinois, because you can't, like, on paper, you can't keep dropping these type of games in Champaign and have people think that you should be a 1, 2, or 3 seed in the NCAA tournament. That's just not going to be how this world works. And this team needs a marquee win. Michigan State at home would be a marquee win. I don't care who you are. Like, and they also need to figure out, because Matt Painter made a really good point after this game that he believes, and I agree with him, that Illinois and Purdue are just so damn similar, player for player, talent for talent, and how they want to play. I think that this team knows that, you know, if Kofi plays really, really well in Mackey Arena, they can go in there and win, because they've done it. This team's done it. Like,
oh, I agree.
Guys in this team that have done it. It's just a matter of, I think Purdue's even better than they were last year. I know they were better than they were last year, and I think that they've made significant leaps. I don't know if Illinois has made a significant leap yet as a full unit. And so we're only in the third week of January, but you got to start stacking stuff that I'm seeing that Illinois is making progress. Today, I thought Illinois made progress in a loss a hell of a lot more than they've made progress in wins. I go back to the Maryland game at home. I thought Illinois played like a C-minus game and got away with it, because Maryland's just not that talented. I think that there's things that Brad Underwood can feel great about today. I think there are obviously some things that Matt Painter can feel great about today, on Monday. But there's no signature win yet on that Illinois resume, and it's gotten concerning now in the third week of January. But there's so many ways in this league that you can turn that around.
Yeah, I was going to say the opportunities are there. I guess you know, and I don't know. Maybe you don't get any, but again, you'll have your opportunity against Michigan State. You'll have your opportunity against Wisconsin. I'm not a big Indiana guy, but I know they're respected. You get Purdue again. You get Michigan State a second time. You got Ohio State at home. So you've got your opportunities. My biggest concern is the ones in between. It's a Big Ten, and you just don't want to take a Maryland lightly, or hell, even a Northwestern. I mean, look what they've done, you know. So there's just no easy games,
mm-hmm.
and so I guess my concern is don't get caught between Purdue, and if I'm Maryland, you know, I'm Danny Manning. I love the way this game is shaping up, because Illinois is coming off the high of a double overtime game against Purdue, and they've got Michigan State on Tuesday next week. I'm going to be telling my guys, they don't respect you. They beat you at home. They think they're going to blow you out. And that's the whole week I'm talking about lack of respect. That doesn't matter whether Illinois does or doesn't. You know what I mean? You're just kind of weaving that narrative to these guys. I'll try to catch Illinois early in the game and see what I can do. I do think the interesting thing, Purdue with their double big guys, if Kofi comes back next year, and I still think there's some things that the Illinois coaching staff can really help him with that would allow him to have a better shot at the NBA. And I know that, and I'm not, I think Kofi's one of the most dominant players in college basketball, but I still think, you know, he can get better. If Dane Danger gets in shape, the Purdue team of this year might be what Illinois looks like next year with the two bigs that kind of could go back and forth in for one another, because Danger's got that same big body that you see out of Williams, and he's got the ability to pass, put the ball on the ground, you know, got quite a few things that he can do as well. So who knows? Final thoughts, Ked?
My final thought is this, something a person we never talked about the whole day. And I said a lot of things that I was wrong about today, and I have to own it. Benjamin Bosman Verduck was extremely impressive today. We've not talked about him, and my final thought includes him, because I will say this: if Illinois can get production out of him today, the way he played today, if they can get the Omar Payne the way you saw in Nebraska, and what Cabello did today, Illinois will win the Big Ten. That's my final thought.
Okay. Matt, your final thought?
I think Illinois played their butt off and got beat. And I think they got beat by a team that's flat out right now, because Curbelo is not 100%. I mean, everybody in the world knows that. I think they got beat by a team that just has more parts right now, and they know it. So I think the game in Mackey Arena will be interesting. It's hard to go there and win. But I agreed with Brad Underwood. If you let this become two losses, then you sound the alarm, and this is a problem. I think the major concern right now, if you're Illinois, is that you need to start winning some of these games in order to be the seed that you want to be in come March. They have opportunities to do it. They just haven't done it yet. And I think that they will, but they need to figure out that this isn't just going to snap their fingers and happen because they're so damn talented. They've got to put the work in. And that's why, like, if I say I know Brad Underwood, like I think I do, like, he might turn this over to his fifth year senior captains and go, guys, figure this out. And that wouldn't be a bad idea, but I was really impressed with Purdue today. I was really impressed with a lot of pieces on Illinois today. And I think it's a signature win for Purdue to go into State Farm Center and win. And I think Illinois needs to go get one of those right now.
Well, I basically, thanks guys. I'll wrap up a little bit here. You know, my ultimate thing is Illinois has to start reading the room a little better with what the refs are calling. Although it got a little random today, you know, you just have to figure out, like I said, if Ivy's getting a foul every time he drives the ball, then he can't catch the ball, or you have to play off him and dare him to shoot so that he doesn't drive. It's just that simple. And they have to eliminate some of the mistakes or the moments that you wonder what someone's thinking, i.e. I'm going to throw an elbow on national TV. And those are the moments that you just can't afford to have. So, you know, I know a few weeks ago, DeMonte had a technical against Arizona that was very, very costly. Technical here against Purdue. Those are the type of things, you know, Coach Underwood's known for having a temper, yet during these games, he hasn't lost it. And I'm hoping that the players don't lose sight of why he's doing that. That's kind of an important thing. So as they go, I think this team played very well today. I thought they played well enough to win the game. They didn't. So let's go, you know, if you're an Illini fan, let's have the team go and take out any frustration they might have lingering on the Maryland Terrapins on Friday night. It's not Maryland's fault, but somebody's got to pay for it. So with that, this is Mike Kegley, Illini guy, with Kedrick Prince, director of recruiting, Matt Stevens, the Illini guy's beat reporter. We certainly appreciate you being here. If you enjoy what you've heard, go to IlliniGuys.com, subscribe. We have 7 days trial. You can get it, and then you can don't have to worry about paying for it until the seventh day. Most people will say, hey, $99 a year for all this inside information is fantastic. We also have a bunch of podcasts that you might like. Sturdy for 30, kind of our marquee podcast, is out there. Brad does a great job. A lot of interviews. Also does previews of games with other people from the media of the opposing team. It's a lot of fun. Ked does Ked's Recruiting Roundup, where he gets interviews. I have no idea how he lands these interviews with players, ex-players. They talk to parents. They talk about what it's like to be recruited, what they're going through. If you have a child who has some talent, listening to his podcast might give you the tip you need to get through that process. So please do that. Of course, Eye on the Illini comes out a couple times every week. And finally, don't miss the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. That's our weekly two-hour radio show. It is on 25 stations in the state of Illinois. We get those shows are heard in over 6 states. You can go to IlliniGuys.com, click on the radio tab, and you'll see all the stations and what time they have us on. Please go ahead and listen to it. I think you'll find that it's a pretty entertaining show. And if you like it, tune into your local radio station, give them a call and say, hey, thank you for having those guys on. So with that, this is Illini Guy Mike, and I'm signing off, and we will talk to everybody later this week. Go Illini.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.